thank you very much. Hey, would you do me a favor back there in the light area? I like to see you, so would you turn the house lights up, please? I like to see folks and be able to see. Can you do that, or are they already up? They're already up? I could be in big trouble, huh? I'm from Nebraska. My name is Greg, and I want to do a little survey here. We'll just do a quick response word. Like, if I said red, you would say Corvette. If I said Campbell's soup, you would say tomato. There's a few of us thinking together. Yeah, we're thinking tomato. Now I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say Nebraska, and I want to hear what the first thing is that comes to your mind. Ready? One, two, three. Corn. Corn. Now listen, your president is from Nebraska, you know, so I'm hoping they're not recording this because he can hear some of your voices, I think. Let's do something. I want to see how globally literate you are. You know, before we do that, though, I want to, I was in Atlanta or so a while back, and I was at this church where they were kind of into it, and they said, like, as this person was going, some, you know, there'd be people who would say, keep going. Or some would yell amen or hallelujah. Some at one part of the sermon, they said, help him, Jesus. And I thought, oh, no. So I'm going to recruit a couple of you, if you don't mind, just to kind of pray silently during our time today that the Lord's Spirit would work in this place in a really powerful way. So if there's somebody over in that section, that we just kind of off and on. Now, I'm asking you not to say out loud, help him, Jesus. But would anybody in that section over there just kind of pray quietly while we are, well, just for your group, thank you. And somebody in this middle section, just kind of for people in this area, anybody? Bless your heart, thank you. And somebody over in that area? Anybody? Thank you very much, very much. I appreciate that. So let's check your global awareness here. We're going to see how well you know some of this. This is very interesting. In this country, it's not uncommon, or it's not common to ask, how are you? The more common greeting is, have you eaten today? Isn't that interesting? They don't say, hey, how you doing? They say, have you eaten today? That's the common greeting. What country is that? Somebody got it. It's China. Nichila. That means, have you eaten today? That is how you greet people. Isn't that interesting? How you doing? Nichila. Okay, sometimes trains are so crowded in this railway, in this area, that the railway staff are paid to cram passengers inside the trains in this country. India and also Japan. They push you in. They push you in while they shut the doors. Not bad. Hey, you're doing well. This is the flag of what country, would you guess? Any guess? I'm not hearing it. Gee. Somebody got it. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, the number four is extremely unlucky here. For this reason, if you're giving someone a gift, make sure it's not in multiples of four. To give somebody four kitchen table knives, that's bad. Most buildings here do not have a fourth floor. You got it. South Korea, that's it. The number four is just, they just don't like that number. According to Crabtree Publishing, this country introduced chocolate and corn to the world. You with me? Oops. Mexico, I'm sorry, that one skipped right by, Mexico. You just got off the plane in Riyadh. I have a friend from there. In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, they found a Bible in your suitcase. What do you think is going to happen? Tell the person next to you. What do you think will happen? What do you think would happen? Any book other than the Quran will most likely be thrown in the trash. At least the trash. Maybe much worse. You could be as much as deported or imprisoned. Yikes! In Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. Well, let me tell you about a lady I met. Mary was on the foreign mission field. Mary was from Manhattan, Kansas. And she and her husband, Bob, had been doing some agricultural work in Nigeria. And she was standing in line at the immigration office. They were getting ready to leave the country, and she was behind a tall Nigerian fellow. And the line was moving slow, just like usual. And she wanted to strike up a conversation with him and just introduce herself. Said she was from the United States. And he just bristled right away and said, "I hate the United States." And this kind of shocked her a little bit. She said, what happened? He says, "I was a student in the United States for 4 years. And in those 4 years, I never saw the inside of an American home. No one reached out to me. No one said a word as a family to make me a part of their family." And she apologized she apologized for all the people of the United States and said, "Boy, is there any way we can make it up to you?" And by this time, the line was moving, but Mary never forgot the encounter with this fellow from Nigeria. So she and her husband, Bob, Dr. Bob Tausig, moved back to Manhattan, Kansas, where he taught at K-State. And they decided they were going to reach out to every one of the 1,700 international students at Kansas State University in Manhattan. And a few at a time, they'd drift over to their house. And over the course of the next 25 years, hundreds would be in their home. Hundreds would come to Christ. So much so that Billy Graham took notice and said, "What is going on there is amazing." And it was just some of the beginning work of international student outreach. And I want to tell you something today, gang. I think we are standing at the threshold of modern missions. I really, really believe it. American families who are unable to get visas or passports or raise funds, or American students who don't like getting shots and raising support to travel far across the globe, can share Christ in their own dorm lounge or living room. A few years ago, there's some friends of mine, we started asking some questions. And we just started asking questions, not to make any problems or anything. We just wanted to say, how can we think differently? Can we do things differently in the kingdom that might bear a little bit more fruit? I'm telling you, we didn't want to upset the fruit basket, but there just wasn't as much fruit in the basket that we were hoping to see. And we were reminded of that story that Jesus told about wineskins. He talked about wineskins changing. And the wine is the same, but he said sometimes these skins just can't carry the wine and they burst and nobody gets anything. So he said we need new wineskins. So our methods are constantly changing and the world is changing and we need to be able to adapt to what's going on. The wineskins that we've had that are old and brittle can be changed. Now, nobody would deny that the world is changing in a great way. Before, missions used to mean we cross salt water and we learn about this culture, we learn this language, and we meet these people, and we do these things, and we raise financial support, and we're there, we come home on furlough. And don't get me wrong, I've done that, and I support people who are currently doing that. But I'm just saying, for those who are unable to do that, there's some new ways. The world has really, really changed a lot. In fact, what's going on is when my friends and I were talking, we said, you know, Jesus commanded the church. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now, if you don't mind, I want to be a little transparent with you. I was a campus minister on a secular college campus for 25 years, and for a lot of those years, I completely ignored the last part of that. Because I enjoyed discipling people who looked like me and talked like me. They ate the same food as me. They liked the same things that I liked. And it really was a wonderful day when I started to realize Jesus invited me and all of us to make disciples of all nations. It's really interesting in the context of where Jesus said the Great Commission with these disciples who seldom traveled more than maybe 20 miles from their hometown. So when he said, "You're going to make disciples of all nations," and they say, we wouldn't get past Fort Worth. But he challenged them to be disciple makers of people all around the world. And he was already showing them that he was going to bring these people into their lives and into their path. So what's going on is like this verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3 says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you." I really believe that the Lord is fulfilling this prophecy that was in Isaiah 60, and he's doing it in your lifetime. For some reason, God is entrusting the nations to you. It is amazing to me. And so much so that this is what it looks like. When I first was on a college campus, it was about like this. There were just a handful of international students, just a few, and they kind of kept to themselves. But in recent years, it's been going on and on and on to the point where now it is growing at an exponential rate. So much so that when I was at the University of Southern California, about two of every five people I saw were from a foreign country. God is bringing the nations to our light. Isn't it amazing what's going on? In fact, if you want to look and see the real numbers, Texas is third in the nation for international students. Third in the nation. Now, that really makes me start to think about what this is all going to look like in the future. Things have changed, haven't they? In the old days, missions used to be, we raised the support, and there again, I'm just telling you, this is what it used to be. The method was to do that and learn the language and learn the culture, and I hope we continue to do that. But when those methods started, a postage stamp was a nickel, gas was 33 cents a gallon, there were no microwave ovens, and televisions were this big. I remember the first color television we got to watch those parades at Thanksgiving and Christmas, the first color TV. We turned on and saw the color. It was like the Wizard of Oz. We'd reached the Emerald City. Gosh, those were the days of party lines. We had a party line at our house. So when the phone rang, I think it was two short rings. I can't remember. Does anybody remember party lines? Do some of you? Look at this. Now we're dating. Yeah, we're saying we're all... There was a one phone for the neighborhood, and it would ring once or twice or three times, and you answer the phone. That's what things used to be. Now, if we did missions the same way we did things, we may not see as much fruit in the basket. But there are 900,000 here. Are you with me? There are 900,000 international students and visiting scholars. It is the fastest growing segment on many university campuses. Universities like Ball State, where it is growing at a phenomenal rate. Like in the University of Nebraska, where they said, our intention is to double the international student enrollment to over 5,000 in just 2 years, and they are on track to do it. It's like the University of Southern California, that's growing at such a phenomenal rate, over 9,000 students from 160 nations of the world. And the interesting thing is, the nations they are coming from, restricted access. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? You see what's going on? Plan all the mission trips you want to Pakistan. You're not going to get in there. But Pakistani students are in Dallas right now that you could reach out to. And it doesn't cost anything. India, Sudan, countries like China, Nepal, South Korea, Japan, Indonesia, they are coming. Nations are coming to your light. That's what's happening. Can I show you what this looks like? I want to show you what this looks like. If you'd pay attention, I want you to, can you help me for just a minute? I want you to stand right up here. I want you to hold this bowl. You see this? These are mustard seeds. These are mustard seeds. You see them? They are, let me see, I might have put a picture up there. Let me see if I did. Nope, not yet. We'll come to them in a minute. These are mustard seeds. There's 900,000. Now, I didn't count them, but I had a kid from South Korea who's really good in math calculate this for me. And he says, give or take, there's about 900,000 mustard seeds in here. And this is what it looks like. And they're coming from China. They're coming from Japan, Africa, all over Europe, Haiti, Mexico, Colombia, Chile, Brazil, India, Burma, Japan. They're coming from countries from all over Europe, South America, Australia, Canada, Mexico. There's a few stragglers up here in the... That's what 900,000 looks like. Now, I'm just going to take this one. I'm going to tell you about this one. Is that lighter now? This is my friend from South Korea that comes over on Mondays. And he wants to learn how to drive. Because a driver's license in South Korea costs $1,500. And he wants to get one in the United States because it'll transfer back to South Korea. So we go driving. And I gave him a Korean Bible. And when we're done driving, what he does is say, let's go have coffee. So Kyuhoon and I go have coffee. And he says, I have so many questions. And we talk for an hour about his questions about the Bible. And that is just one from South Korea. Here's the other one that spends time over at my house all the time. He works in counterintelligence in Colombia, in Bogota, Colombia. And he loves the Lord. He came as a Christian and wants to grow in his faith. So last weekend, I took him with me to preach at a church. And there are 900,000 here. Mustard seeds. And there is a reason that Jesus said the mustard seed was so small, but it grows to be one of the biggest plants in the garden, one of the biggest trees. Now, we're going to set this down because it's, how much does that weigh? 15.4 pounds. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He did a wonderful job, yes, didn't he? Thank you. We may have something else for you to do. Here's what somebody prayed years ago. Lord, it is so hard. It is so hard for us to do missions. It costs so much. The travel is burdensome. It's tough to get away. We'd miss our family. So, Lord, please send them to us. Send people from foreign countries to us. And you know what? We don't like speaking foreign languages. Have them speak English. And Lord, have them pay their own way. Have them pay their own way so we don't have to pay to bring them here. And Lord, something else we'd like for you to do is make them children of highly influential families, influential leaders in government, in medicine, engineering, agriculture. Make them influential leaders. And Lord, please make them so lonesome. All they want to do is meet us and put a spiritual hunger in them that they can only find by and through making and building relationships with Christians. Amen. And that's the prayer that's been answered. They are all over the place. Now, it's interesting to see that a lot of this happens just from building relationships with just one. Just one. That's all it has to take. Now, this is, it's just very different to us. Jagan is just part of our family. He's a Korean student who came a few years ago. He's just part of our family now. He doesn't knock when he comes in. And often, he walks straight to the refrigerator and checks out what's in the fridge. And Jagan is one of hundreds who've come through our home. Listen, gang, I live in a small middle-class neighborhood. I live close to the high school, right across from where all the kids come and go for high school and burn the tires out when they leave at 3:30. But my house has been a host to people from all over the world. Who would have ever thought that six blocks from my home are 60 nations of the world? 60 nations. Who would have thought? Huh. People like Orland and Kay work at Walmart. You know when you go into Walmart and there's that guy by those carts that says, "Welcome to Walmart," and you think, I don't know if I could do his job. And then you walk through and you buy your bananas and the lady rings them up. That's Kay and that's Orland. And for the last 15 years, they've welcomed international students into their home. In fact, I wish we zoomed in on those maps behind them, because the guy who greets people at Walmart with no Bible college degree, no visa, never owned a passport, never raised financial support, never got a shot to travel to a foreign country, has reached people from around the world on that couch. So much so that Lily, who was sitting with them 2 weeks before she graduated from the university, decided she wanted to follow Jesus. And Orland baptized her in church. And the university asked her to speak to 10,000 people at the graduation ceremony. And Lily told her story. The guy at Walmart did that. Through the Lord's power, the Lord's work, the Lord did amazing things. When, you see, it doesn't, all it needs are two hands to reach out and one heart to give. That's really all it takes. A mustard seed is so small, but can make such a huge, huge difference. Now, if you don't mind here for a minute, I'm going to get personal, if you don't mind. I did a little homework before I got here. Guess what? The Lord has put them right in your midst, right here. UT Dallas is about 20 minutes drive from here. This is their website. These are the international students on their website. Guess what they have? International Week, where a carload of you could drive over and meet people from all different countries. Invite them back to campus. Invite them to come to chapel. Invite them out to a movie. And you might think, how can I do that? I don't know how to do that. You do it by asking one. I was at the University of Nebraska in Omaha a year ago, walking through the hallway trying to find a classroom, and a Chinese girl was also looking for a room, and I just spoke to her. I said, "Ni hao ma," which was incorrect because that means, "How are you?" I was supposed to say, "Ni chi la," "Have you eaten today?" But she says, "Oh, you speak Chinese." I says, "Yeah, I'm from China." And she knew better. So I said, "Chin wen ni tong na li lai," "Where are you from?" I'll tell you what, if they can travel thousands of miles, can't we learn a little bit of language to speak to them? Said, "Chin wen tong na li lai?" "Ah," she says, "I'm from Hunan province." And she said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm going to a Bible study." And she said, "Can I come with you? Do you need an invitation?" And I said, "I'm inviting you right now." And she came to Bible study with me that night. And when she left, I said, "Hung gao shi jian dao ni. I am so happy to meet you." It starts by asking one. UT Dallas is 20 minutes away. You drive a little. How far is that Gallarama, Mallorama, or whatever it is? Gallarona? Galleria? How far is that? It's like 5 minutes. So you go to the Gallarama and you go about 10 minutes more and you're going to be at UT Dallas. But English conversation hour, you're kidding me. You are kidding me. They sit in a room like this and just say, "Speak English to us. Speak English to us." And you can say, What are holidays like in your country? What's your family like? I miss them a lot. What is your favorite food? Ah, the guy from Colombia. Ah, chunchullo. Cow intestines. I said, "I'm not going there. I'm not going to have that." But it was just at a little table among. You're the generation that develops relationships better than anybody else. Isn't it interesting that God brought this generation of people from around the world right to your doorstep? UT Dallas. Well, this one's UNT. I drove past there. Is that up by Denton? Yeah. It's about 40 minutes from here in good traffic. But when there's a snowstorm behind you, you can make it in about 35. What on earth? Global Interact, a community group that's committed to friendship and international students. You mean I just call the university and they say, where do you want to meet people from? What country? Saudi Arabia? No problem. We can do it. SMU is about 20 minutes the other direction, Southern Methodist. This is the list of the countries that are on SMU's campus right now. 1,282 students at SMU from foreign countries, from all over the world. Japan, China, Colombia, 350 from China. They're from Kuwait, all over. Pakistan, remember the mission trip to Pakistan? There are seven from Pakistan. Guess what? They are less likely to go through their suitcases when they go home than yours. And buy them a Kindle reader. Let them take it in on a Kindle. SMU, 20 minutes. Oh, this one was really interesting. This is a little farther. Where's A&M at? College Station. About an hour and a half? Now, I'm just making this up. I want you to think about this. You do those mission trip thing, you go somewhere, don't you? Like to serve the Lord somewhere? Don't you do that here? Sure you do. You mean you could take a van load of people, an hour and a half, to Texas A&M, and dinner in a U.S. home. You could connect with a church, and you could take the university will give you the names of students to take out for supper, to take into a home. The university will do that. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Isn't it amazing? When we embrace the Great Commission in all its fullness to make disciples of all nations, the Lord makes the way straight. He just makes it straight. A tank of gas to get there. Gosh, it sounds too easy. It sounds too easy, but it's surprising the opportunities that we are having. It's surprising the leaders, too. Surprising the leaders that are coming. The U.S. Department of State, Department of Education, I just printed this off their website. And they said, guess who's been to school in the United States? Huh, Belize, the Minister of Finance of Belize. President of Bolivia? You're kidding me. The Minister of Agriculture, Costa Rica. The Minister of Foreign Affairs in Indonesia? You're kidding me. Some of these prime ministers, these are foreign dignitaries. Some of them are working in key. The president of Panama? The prime minister of Thailand? That's just Texas. They're leaders from all over the world. The president of Israel, University of Nebraska. Now here's the sad part, gang. 70% of those in that bowl will never see the inside of an American home. 70%. Purdue University ranks it, theirs at 80. They're about number 4 in the nation with international students. They rank 80% of them will never see the inside of American home, and they will never meet an American friend. Magazines like the Atlantic Monthly are writing articles interviewing international students. Say 60% of them will never meet an American friend. 60%. 60%, that's 600,000. We'll never meet them. I went to Starbucks. I was going to test this theory out. I went to Starbucks, which is just down the hall in the university, and it was slow. It was in the middle of the afternoon. A great Chinese kid was behind the counter. And I said, Ni hao ma. Wado mingzu, Greg. My name is Greg. And somehow speaking in their language just immediately connects us. I think there's a reason that Jesus was called the Word. And I said, hey, I just read this article. I just want to ask you something. How many American friends do you have? How many American friends? He said, why do you ask that? I said, I'm just asking. I just wonder. How many friends do you have? He said, none. Not one American friend. I said, how long have you been here? You know, a couple, is it, you just get here in January of the semester? How long have you been here? I said, I've been here a year and a half. I do not have one American friend. The only Americans I know are the ones who are paid to teach me. I said, would you come to my house for Thanksgiving? This was in November. He said, would you come to my house for Thanksgiving? He said, how many people can I bring? So my Thanksgiving turkey was eaten by people from all around the world. China, Colombia, Japan, South Korea. And all I did was just ask. And now, anytime I go into Starbucks, he closes the counter and he comes out with a cup of coffee and he says, can we talk some more? I said, absolutely, what's on your mind? And I ask him to help translate some Bible study materials. And as he's reading, he's learning the Bible a little bit more. It's so easy. It's so natural. It's so relational. It's exactly what we need to be doing. I tell you, at my house, I guys, this was Columbia night, Bogota, Colombia. The police force of the nation of Colombia. It's a national police force. It's not like the Dallas police and the Amarillo police. It's the Texas police. Actually, it's the United States police. They're all one police force. And for some reason, they said, we want our policemen to start speaking English. And I said, why don't you come over to my house? And that night, there were 35 that came. And I said, they're learning English. So I said, can you tell us who you are? Or what do you do? I mean, do you write parking tickets? What do you do? And it was so fun because their English is just beginning. And they say, my name is Carlos. I am a policeman. And my Spanish is a little rusty. I can say taco and burrito, but that gets me right down the road. But I said, no. ¿Qué es su responsabilidad? What is your responsibility? And one said, I'm in underground narcotics. One said, I'm a chemical engineer, so when they find cocaine farms, I analyze the chemicals and we try and figure out how to neutralize things. One said, I'm an agricultural expert. I go into the areas after they burn the cocaine farms and I teach them to plant coffee and crops that aren't illegal. The guy sitting next to me said, I'm a Secret Service. I said, you fly on Air Force One? And he said, ¿Qué es esta Air Force One? What is Air Force One? And I said, no, su flyo with the presidente? And he said, you're loco. I said, yeah, I know. He says, yeah, yeah. And I knew his family. I knew his family for 2 years. And I was heartbroken when he left. I gave him a Bible in Spanish. And I said, if the president of Colombia is ever discouraged, depressed, or sad, can you give him a Bible? And the inscription inside said, we are praying for you and your country to find peace. Maybe, just maybe, the president of Colombia, living in Palacio de Ariños in Bogotá, in La Candelaria area, has a Bible from a guy that sat in my house and ate chili one cold January night. That's what I'm hoping. Guys, this was South Korea night where we just said only about 10 because we couldn't handle anymore. And actually, my dog Ripley's on Facebook a lot. If you go on my Facebook page and check my friends out, everybody wants their picture with our dog Ripley. And the dog from around the world. This was Nepal night. I invited two students from Nepal to come to my house. Remember, 60% of them have never seen the inside of an American home? I invited two, and that's how many came. We prayed for supper, and we served them some food, and one came up to me afterwards and said, are you Christians? And I said, yeah, we are. And he said, can you tell me more about that? I said, when do you want to talk? It is such a natural thing, and I think God is bringing these folks right into your generation. Remember that story that Jesus told about, I was sick and you visited, I was in prison, I was naked, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Remember that part? Man, I think we're doing a great job of digging wells in Haiti and in Africa. I think we're doing a wonderful job of prison ministries. And I know we could do more. and clothing people who are in areas of extreme poverty? When's the last time you invited a total stranger into your home? Why did he put that in there? I was a stranger and you invited me in. Why did he put that in there? How you doing on that one? It's tough. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. I'm almost done. You with me? I'm almost done. We're going to do one thing more. You want to help me again? I did a little thing with the with a checkerboard. This is a simple checkerboard, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing invisible or magic about this, is it?
No.
Yeah. Good. Skeptical. I want you to hold this up for me, if you wouldn't mind, so people can see it. On the first square, there's one grain of wheat. Jesus talked about a grain of wheat. Didn't he talk about sowing that wheat? Didn't he talk about that? Remember that story? There's one grain of wheat. And on the next square, there are two grains of wheat. And then it doubles to four. And then it doubles to... Are you in the honors program? 16, 32, 64... And I kind of ran out of space here, but that's the actual number. That is the actual proportions that it looks like. Now, this was at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And it had one of those little flip-open things, you know, one of those little flip-open things at the museums. You know what I'm talking about? And what it said, it just had a little question before the flip-open thing. It said, how many grains of wheat are on the 64th square? How many? Like a million? A trillion, you think? Okay, can you read? We flipped open the card on the back. Can you, Josh, right? Can you read the what it says when you flip open the little thing? How many grains of wheat are on the 64th square?
Enough to cover the entire subcontinent of India 50 feet deep.
Serious?
That's what it says.
Serious. Down here is enough wheat to cover the subcontinent of India 50 feet deep? Well, what's the population of the world? Well, about 6.5 billion or so. 7 billion, which is square number 34. Holy cow is right. You're kidding me, 34. That means if you just find one, and at the end of a year, you say, could we go find somebody else to disciple of all nations? It's not just people who look like you and think like you and talk like you. And at the end of that year, you're telling me the entire population of the world could hear about Jesus in 34 years? Do the math. Do the math. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's very doable in our lifetime. But it just takes one to start. Just one. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. I'll put this down now. It just takes one. Oh, yeah. He's mighty to save. That's what we sing about all the time. Don't forget the second part of the verse where it says, shine your light and let the whole world see. I was sitting at a Taco Bell with a Korean kid who said, we'd just finished playing racquetball, and he was blue. I said, what's going on? He said, my grandpa died yesterday, and I can't go back. He said, I'm worried about my mom. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about them all. I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. I said, what are you going to do? He says, right now I'm praying that my grandfather will go to the heaven that you Christians talk about. And I said, what does that look like? tell me, what does that look like? He said, I don't know. Can you tell me? Shine your light and let the whole world see. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful, so very grateful for today. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of this grand mission that you have set in place before us. Lord, forgive us for being complacent, apathetic. Forgive us for being distracted and preoccupied. We know this is so